the smell, the feel, the color, everything, and the realness of it.
Catalin Coleman is from Hungary. She now lives in Sweden, but every Christmas she travels here to spend the holidays with her brother and father. Among her duties each year, select the family's Christmas tree. Today, she's come to Mahoney's, a garden center in Boston.
We measured about 8 feet in our living room, yeah.
And so she's picked out a 7-foot balsam fir, one of the most popular choices for a Christmas tree here in New England. Nathan Mann, a horticulturalist at Mahoney's, takes it from here.
We'll take it off the pole. We have a converted paint mixer that shakes any snow off the tree. Put a fresh cut on it. That'll help the tree take water up. Put it through this netter right here. And typically people want to have it tied on their car. That's kind of the tradition. So
while it was purchased here, Catalin's tree wasn't grown here in New England. In fact, it wasn't even grown in this country. Like many of the balsam firs you'll find at garden centers and Christmas tree lots all around Boston, her tree is from Nova Scotia.
It's colder. It's also got the moisture from the ocean as well up there. So that definitely makes it unique as a prime balsam growing condition.
That's Ken Risher, Assistant Director of Operations for Mahoney's. He helps manage their rugged 500-acre farm in Canada.
When we go just to tag the trees, we're like walking over rough terrain, over boulders. I mean, they just grow everywhere up there.
At many farms, the workers plant the trees themselves, neatly, row after row of them. But at Mahoney's, they don't plant a single tree. Instead, the staff manages an entire forest.
What we leave on the farm is what's called seed trees. These are larger balsam trees that have been there a good 20 to 30 years. And they give off their seeds, and that spreads out, and little trees grow all over the forest.
8 to 12 years ago, Catalin's tree was one of those seeds that took root. Richard notes that while they don't plant the trees, they do manage their growth.
Every year, it's been pruned, cut back, and we usually do that in July and August. It's done in the summer once.
That's an important point, says Mann. Without a little guidance, most trees will no doubt grow up to look like evergreens, but they probably won't look like Christmas trees.
Definitely irregular, definitely shaped by wind, stunted maybe due to lack of water, really cold temperatures, getting killed back every year by a lot of snow.
Like most of the 15,000 trees that Mahoney's has shipped to the Boston area this year, Catalin's tree was cut in early to mid-November. But Mann says that if you're looking for a long-lasting tree, don't get too fixated on when it was cut.
Yeah, a lot of people want to buy the freshest tree, the ones that we received, you know, most recently, or the ones that were cut most recently. But it's not necessarily, you know, how fresh is it. It's the weather that it experienced when it was getting harvested.
And by November, up in Nova Scotia, the weather is cold, a perpetual frost. This is a good thing.
Yeah, it's actually that process of the frost that draws the sap, the resin, back into the tree. And that, more than anything, helps to control the loss of moisture through the fresh cut on the bottom of the tree when it's harvested, but also through the porous leaf surfaces.
Porous leaf surfaces, a.k.a. the needles. When they dry out, they fall. And as anyone who's ever had a real tree knows, they've yet to invent a vacuum cleaner that will get them all up. But no amount of hardy frost can stave off the inevitable forever. Like all fresh-cut Christmas trees, Catalin's is already dying. That's where Rob DeRosa comes in. He oversees the residential trash and recycling program for 300,000 Boston households. For 2 weeks, beginning December 30th, DeRosa will designate a handful of DPW's vehicles as Christmas tree collection trucks.
You're looking at maybe about 40 loads of Christmas trees that'll go to the compost facility on American Legion Highway in Mattapan.
Catalin's tree will be one of more than 40,000 that DeRosa figures will be collected. They'll be piled up and eventually chopped down into tiny little bits by an enormous tub grinder.
Some of it we use for odor control. Say if we're turning some of the compost piles, we place it throughout the property so you get a nice pine smell.
But the vast majority of the 1,200 cubic yards of material will be used as mulch.
Sounds like a lot. 1,200 cubic yards isn't a lot of volume, but they'll haul it off-site, and they'll put it up for sale for landscapers in the springtime when the demand is there.
Many of the cities and towns in the area have similar programs. In Somerville, they even make the tree mulch available to the public for free. But enough about all that. It's not even Christmas yet, and Catalin and her family have a little work to do.
We do the white lights. We have ornaments from all over the world. A silver-colored star. We come from Hungary, and there the tradition is that we open the presents on Christmas Eve. So we have a Christmas Eve dinner, and then we open our presents. Oh, it's going to be spectacular.
Thanks, at least in part, to that 7-foot balsam fir. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.